It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, December 3rd. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. On this day, 20 years ago, a British engineer named Neil Papworth typed out Merry Christmas on a computer and sent it to the cell phone of a guy at a Vodafone holiday party. That is said to be the very first SMS text message. The idea was conceived 8 years earlier by a fellow in Finland who did not patent it, with predictable financial results. You may think of texting as a wasteland of WhatsApps or LOLs, but let's remember on this anniversary that they're also an agent of social change. Texting, for instance, is used to alert families about when to get their shots. Hillary Karras works with the Office of Public Health in King County, Washington.
It's personal. It's in your pocket. People love their phones. They're always on. The messages are customizable. And like I said, it's ubiquitous. There are more phones that are text capable than there are people in this country.
MAMA, the Mobile Alliance for Maternal Action, has a system where women in developing countries can sign up to get texts to help with pregnancy.
To help them take care of themselves during pregnancy, know when and how to seek care, and how to give care to their newborns.
Kirsten Gagnier is MAMA's global director. Time to take an iron supplement, for example, or time to go in for an antenatal exam. MAMA is in Bangladesh, South Africa, and is just getting started in India. Unlike most media, texting singles out individuals. And by getting the timing right, it can get health advice to people who don't even have a phone.
So, for example, they might be at market day on Wednesdays at noon, and the woman in the stall next to them they know has a mobile phone. So they might choose to get their messages at that time because they don't have their own phone, but they can access that one.
In Bangladesh, the texts can also go to the mother-in-law, who, as in any country, are agents of social change in their own right. As we've been reporting, late last week, the internet went out in Syria. The government, battling rebels, blames, quote, terrorists. Others believe the government itself pulled the plug. Cell phone service was also degraded. But for those who could get calls out, Google and Facebook are working together to act as a sort of global message board. People in Syria can leave voice messages that get sent on as a tweet. It's called Speak to Tweet, and here's one.
I don't know what to say, but we need help. We need help.
We need help, the man says, although you can't really know where he's calling from. To what extent governments will have the authority to rein in, shape, and tax the internet is a central question being discussed starting today in Dubai. The International Telecommunications Union used to be a sleepy place for setting telephone standards, but this closed-door meeting under the auspices of the UN could define the rules for the internet for years to come. Susan Crawford is a visiting professor at Harvard.
As a matter of law, each national regulator today could cut itself off from the internet, could decide to charge for communications coming into their country. They have all this power now. The risk is that the ITU meeting makes it more of a norm for countries to do that, and that as a result, it's more difficult for speech to cross borders and for these positive spillovers of the internet to be real for the rest of the world.
Crawford also follows telecom policy at the Roosevelt Institute in New York. Oh, the burdens of fatherhood. First, the diapers, later walking the kid 1,200 feet to the bus stop every school day. December's IEEE Spectrum magazine has a piece by a dad who designed and built a drone that follows his kid to the school bus while sending back a live video image. It tracks a GPS beacon in the kid's backpack. The four-propeller helicopter uses a do-it-yourself controller called an Arduino. Does the drone fire a laser if the child gets out of line? No, because that would be bad parenting. I'm David Brancaccio, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.